Today is a special day. It's the day we get ready for Thor's birthday.
Which okay. is tomorrow.
Which is tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah. Today's the first day of spring, though, guys. So happy spring.
Oh, happy spring.
It's been, we needed this.
It's been a beautiful day. It really has.
It's been gorgeous outside.
And I look, there's a couple trees, and I see it's like, oh, the hint of the first buds are forming there. So.
My trees are really budding this year. Really? We did Japanese plums, and they bloom a little bit earlier, so they're like full bloom. We're kind of scared that like next week
a little frost might come,
and so we bought Christmas lights to hang on them. So you hang Christmas lights, it's supposed to keep them from frosting.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I just hurt my
just a little bit of extra heat? Warmth there. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about last week. Thor had some beef about his closing. His closing statement.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I went off on a complete and utter rant about cultural appropriation, and I just would like to clarify a few things. Because I thought, are people listening? Are they saying that cultural appropriation doesn't happen? Is that what I'm saying? It's like, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it happens. I'm just saying that it's just a normal part of history. From what I've read and from what I know of history, cultures borrow things from each other all the time. They do. And to not borrow stuff from other culture feels like, I don't know, like you're superior or something? I don't know. It's a weird idea to not borrow. Borrowing from their cultures makes our cultures richer. Mm-hmm. And to say that we shouldn't be borrowing or we can't borrow from other cultures limits us in a way. It's just weird. And then what is culture? What cultures are we talking about? It's just like, it's such a vague idea. And I don't know.
Wouldn't you feel honored? Like if I'm like going to another country and they want to make a dish from my country, I'd be like, oh, this is great. Or let me show you how. Or I think I would be honored by it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say you should not try to do that.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Yeah. Isn't that what they say?
Is there ever a time where I wouldn't be? Like, let's say you are...
Okay, so there are, I think, some instances, but that would be... like some sort of sacred religious kind of thing. And even then, as long as they're not doing it exactly like that, I
how about like so some people will wear dreadlocks. But in Rastafari religion, it's a sign of you're giving up something for your spirituality.
Okay, so my sister has dreadlocks, okay?
Oh, what?
I've talked to her. No. I've talked to her about it. She says every black person I talk to loves them. Says it is white people that have a problem with it. I'm horrible because I have dreadlocks. But she says, like, everyone else thinks they're great. And I have a feeling that people who aren't pretentious feel that way. They're like, that's cool. If I see someone in jeans and a t-shirt running down in Punta Arenas or whatever like that, I'm not like, what in the heck are they doing? You know, I'm like, that's fine. And they're fine if I bring back something cool from Costa Rica. They're fine if I can sing their national anthem or do whatever. You know, why wouldn't they be? It shows them that I care about them as a people. I don't know.
We could be wrong about this. If there's an example, write in bishop@thenicecult.com and we'll read it out loud.
I am very passionate about that just because I've studied a lot of history and I know that that is a natural thing. And it's supposed to happen. It's a good thing for the most part. It is a good thing when other cultures copy your culture and takes on some of your stuff.
Well, today we have a special event. The game show.
This is...
Wait, I don't know the tone. You gotta do
do-do-do.
Yeah, there we go.
Do-do-do.
Who's playing Steve Harvey?
I'm playing Steve Harvey.
Okay, awesome.
I've got the questions.
Top five answers on the board.
So I'm gonna ask both of you, Nathan and Thor, these questions. And... the first one to slap their hand and give me the most answers. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, maybe it's not.
Well, so these are questions that were put on our website for 4 months or so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are these those ones?
These are those
ones,
yeah.
Okay, those, yeah.
Okay.
So we have a lot of good ones. I'm not going to go through all of them. Only one question in here has where everybody has the same answer. Like,
really?
Not the same answer, but like they have several that are similar answers. So some of these you're going to have to be saying if you can get anything on there.
Okay.
And I'll give you the first question. Which is the best flavor of Kool-Aid?
Cherry.
I say grape.
Oh.
We should all have right. Put so down. We do have cherry is the most. Cherry.
Oh, really?
Two, well, three.
I'm just thinking that because that's
grape is one.
That's two, the one that was actually three, used in Jonestown.
Four, five.
Was
no,
it cherry.
Grape, yeah. Five.
Cherry
six.
Flavor Aid.
Grape has six.
Oh,
sorry, yeah, not cherry.
Yeah, dang grape it. Is. It's.
Well, did you say grape?
Yeah, I did. Say
oh, there
grape.
You go.
Yeah.
Dang it.
A couple other ones. I just want to say purple Saurus Rex.
Oh, uh-huh. That's a good one.
Hawaiian Punch. Is there a Hawaiian Punch in there?
There is not.
Okay.
Peach Mango.
Hmm.
Oh, that sounds like a horribly Kool-Aid
My
flavor.
Favorite is, they're all about the same.
And they are.
Lemon lime.
I like lemon lime.
There's a lemon lime. But I put some real lime juice in it because I'm fancy like that. That sounds like Nathan wrote that one in.
I would do that, but I didn't write it.
Fill in the blank. I donated my life savings to the Nice Cult and all I got was...
A blanket.
I'm going to say...
Well, t-shirt is the best, probably, but...
I'm going to say pink eye.
Okay.
Thor wins with a blanket. There are three people that put blanket on there. There's a whole bunch of stuff. A half-eaten candy bar, an incurable rash, a blanket, and an eating disorder. After I heard you talk about eating placenta, it's hard for me to think about meat. Thanks, guys.
We drove someone to be vegetarian.
A raging gonorrhea infection. Thanks, Gunner. A person visiting from Ronaldo. A personal visit from Ronaldo. And
nice.
Yes, he did touch in a very personal way. A pat on the head, a goat sticker, and a goat sticker, chlamydia, a pat on the head, a goat sticker. Oh, that's a repeat of that one.
Got a couple.
Unexplainable rash. Apparently, there's lots of rashes in there.
Also, my pink eye was kind of close.
Yeah, that was good
candy
enough.
Candy bar and a blanket. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is the one thing a cult leader should never do?
Beep. Give a prediction for the end of the world.
Okay.
And at a time.
And I'm going to say, order the number two at Taco Amigo. No, okay. I don't know.
So Thor won this one.
Okay.
Because there was one person that said that. But there's some good ones in here. I'm going to read a few.
Okay.
Oh, there's a really weird one. Submerge a baby several times during a baptism.
Okay.
Just pass on the baptism. Yeah, okay.
That's strange.
A cult leader can do whatever they want. Fake martial arts credentials.
Well, we've had one or two with that.
Order anything on the menu at In-N-Out.
Nathan!
What?
Oh, did you say that?
No,
no,
I said
it was close.
I said Taco Amigo. Oh. I said order the combo number two at Taco Amigo. Or everyone orders a combo number one.
Like you should. Order off a secret menu.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Sleep alone. Cult leaders should have their pick of followers to sleep with.
I like that one.
I guess that's one of the better reasons for being a cult leader, right?
Never do. They should never fart during yoga.
Okay.
Answer his phone on the first ring. Oh, yeah. Say they are God. Yes, good. Let's see. Forget what they promised their fans on an episode of their podcast.
Oh, shoot.
Did we do that? No.
We would never promise one thing and not do it.
No. I eat raisins. They're the poor man's chocolate chip. Eat a McRib sandwich. Eat placenta. Seriously, that was so gross. predicting the world. Eat asparagus. Exist. Foretell the end of the world. Yeah, sleep with the cult. Okay, there. Thor.
What?
You're winning.
I know, by far.
It's because I know the common man, guys.
Okay.
You got to make it up.
If you looked at a cult leader's pocket, what would you find?
Pocket fluff.
In a cult. Okay.
No, I don't know. Maybe a zip drive with secret domination of world plans.
What did you say?
Pocket Fluff.
You win. There are several people that put that in there. A prediction for the end of the world. Oh. We have Pocket Bible. 75 cents and change and some old gum.
That's good. We have fun listeners.
We have expired coupons for the all-you-can-eat salad at the bar at Sizzler.
You guys, I do that. I'll put coupons in my wallet and like 7 months later, I pull them out. It's like, oh, well, that's expired.
You're a cult leader, Thor.
Yeah.
A book on how to master manipulation. Pocket Writings of Ronaldo. A number to a good psychiatrist. Spare bacon. We'll see.
There's no such thing as spare bacon. It's all used every time.
Yeah. All the cash he can get from his followers. Signed photo of Ronaldo. See question 3. My life savings. We'll go on to the question. Okay, there we go.
So
there's pocket, nothing there. That's why.
So money was the biggest one then, basically.
Pocket Fluff, though?
No, that was a good one.
Second.
Okay, note for... This person's on the placenta. A note for me. Stop eating placenta. Okay. Cue cards. Okay, I think we've got it.
Okay.
Spare bacon. Interesting. What would be a traditional gift to give on any nice cold holiday?
I'm going to say rice. Because we talked about it.
Okay. I'm going to say hotcakes. Okay. So.
That's probably... All
right.
We'll see how many people actually listen to the earlier episodes of the Nice Cult.
Not a single person put hotcakes down. Only one person did rice. What? And they said rice, duh. There are a million people that put blankets on there.
Nice
cold mug.
No one's listened to the older episodes.
Mug, a nice cold blanket. Blankets are all the thing. Wrapping paper with nice cult logo on it. Coupon for a cheaper blanket.
That's good. We have funniest listeners. Oh my gosh.
Have them hold out both hands into a cup. Pour honey or syrup into their hands until they overfill. They get to keep all the syrup they want. They can. Okay. They can't hold. Happy holiday. A candle that smells that like the like nice cult headquarters. I like that. Probably a candle. Oh, there's a couple. Probably a candle that smells like the Nice Cult recording studio. Oh, okay. We got a couple people that are on that same page.
Someone likes, what's her name?
A holiday Gwen Haggis.
What is her name? The lady with the scented camel candles. Candles.
Gift certificate.
You know the one I'm talking about.
Body Works.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Bag of rice. Oh, there's two rice.
Okay. Yeah. That's nice. Okay, I got 2 points. You have 3, right? Or 4.
I don't know.
This is important, Thor. You better be keeping track.
A daughter? What would be a nice gift to give a daughter? Okay. A banana? I like that one.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah, someone has been.
I think that's it. We're gonna wrap this up. Thor wins. It's his birthday, too. So.
Okay. I'm going to let
him. I get an extra point just for being a birthday boy.
For being born. Yeah. Okay. And you get one taken away, Nathan.
Oh.
For being born. That is our cult feud.
Well, that was a lot of fun. Those are a lot of fun questions. A lot of fun answers that people gave. So
those are good.
Any Bishop?
Dear Bishop, can you look into the cult of Taylor Swift?
Oh yeah.
Yes, that will be on our docket for doing later on this season.
Now, is this something that you want to do, Gunnar?
It's probably going to be one that I'll do because
I'm kind of a member of that cult.
Really? Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, were you a lover of Taylor Swift?
I mean, I try to shake it off, but yeah.
You know how you have celebrity crushes and everything? I've tried to force to have a celebrity crush on Taylor Swift, but it just isn't happening. She's just too popular.
Mm.
Yeah, she's just...
You need someone a little bit more indie.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Mm. I need someone just a little bit, you know, someone a little more unique.
Hmm.
Although I do respect Taylor and what she's done.
You need someone a little bit more like Bjork.
Bjork's a little too crazy.
Alanis Morissette?
She's a little too crazy.
Lorde is going to be
Lorde.
Awesome. And I like her music.
Yeah, I do too.
I like her music and I think she's my kind of girl.
Okay.
You sure you don't want to go with Selena Gomez, Gunnar? You love her so much.
Selena Gomez, you don't get me going on what I think of Selena, okay?
Really, I'm tempted to put her in the magisterium next time.
Okay, you can start, but then I'll have to start saying all the things that are bad about her, okay? That's fine. We're going to do another bishop because we have several.
Okay.
Dear Bishop, okay. So I think this one is referring to the last episode. Okay, I'm going to let you read this one, Nathan. You'll probably read it better than me.
Oh, okay. Oh man, a lot to unpack here, but I must say sources are important. There was one referenced, the New York Post, which is right-leaning and emphasizes culture war issues that support their side. And they give a website. I'm not suggesting there weren't a lot of valid points, and there were. See Leah Thomas, Nathan's reference to Jordan Peterson, and the age that we live in. But when a source like this to support your presentation, it weakens the argument, in my opinion. Other random thoughts, it's not a cult. While it does have religious similarities, it is more the Marxist ideology. Do people live their life worshiping the idea that white people are bad? I don't think so. All Lives Matter is a PETA dog whistle, a people whistle, and that's signed Richard the Nice.
Okay.
Thanks for reading that. There was just too much to unpack in that one. So they're saying that it was a little, that we were...
We had bias
in that.
Of course.
We do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And that's a good point to bring up.
Just a second. No, this is where we actually throw Brian under the bus.
Oh,
okay?
Are we blaming Brian on that?
Yeah, I just like, okay. Because he was the one who presented it. So it's, we throw him under the bus. That's all his fault, guys.
Yeah.
And you could tell that Richard was blaming Brian for...
Yeah, not us, of course not, no. But I do have to admit that is definitely a right-leaning paper.
Yeah,
it is. So
thanks, Richard, for writing in. You know, I figured that this topic would get people fired up. We definitely did have a bias in what we do.
You guys did. I don't know.
Nathan didn't, but I definitely do.
Nathan's middle name is Unbiased.
Thank you again. Thanks, Richard.
We do appreciate that.
But Richard, you do need to get yourself a nice cold blanket.
Yeah.
Do we have the new ones out? The cool ones?
We don't. We will by the time this airs.
Okay. Good.
Sorry, guys.
You know the ones that we designed, the cult leader and
those
so
will be there.
Good. I love that blanket. It's gonna be so good. Okay.
All right, dear Bishop, I got a tattoo, but I don't think my family will approve. Mm-hmm. Our religion teaches us that we should treat our bodies like a temple. I just put a watercolor flower on the shoulder of my temple. And I think my family is going to flip out when we go to Cancun this summer. The worst part about it is... I ran out of money halfway through the semester and needed to ask my dad for a few thousand dollars. He asked me what I was spending the money on. I'm afraid he's going to realize I spent my money on the tattoo and not school stuff. How do I break it to my dad before he starts asking questions?
Okay, so your body is a temple, and so you are adorning your temple with religious artwork. Can you tie that flower into some sort of religious significance?
If you can pull something from the scriptures,
yes,
that has a flower and say, this is the flower that they're talking about in that one.
This is the symbol of the tree of life.
And if you've talked to anyone about the symbols of their tattoos... It's all horseshit, okay? There's like so many people that are just like, oh, this is so meaningful. And you look at it, you're like, really? That's meaningful?
Okay. I think
there's some people that it does mean a lot. Sorry.
You should just make up like this. I just got this to remind me of mom. This just reminds me of a really special time I had with mom. Everyone will be. You got what can you say?
These are
that?
All really bad. These are all really bad. I feel so bad when I'm saying these things or trying to deceive someone's parents. This is what you need to do. You need to.
Get a tattoo of a blanket.
Get a tattoo.
To cover up the tattoo they already got.
You need to get a nice cold blanket and wear it on the beach to cover up the tattoo.
Nice cold blankets make great towels.
They do.
For the beach.
Yeah, actually, they're the right size.
About the right size.
Those are tiny. I'm glad we got a bigger one.
Yeah.
We got a nice blanket
behind on that.
It's me. 100%
How much does it cost to get a tattoo, guys? Is
like
it really expensive?
$400
It depends on which one it is.
There's a show called, it's something
LA
about,
Inc.
No, it's not LA Inc., but it's something that's about the same time. It was on the same kind of channel. I don't know if E or one of those. And it was revenge tattoos. It's like you invite your ex and you each choose a tattoo for that person.
Oh.
And some of them were kind of cute stories, but mostly it was like
just
pretty
being
awful
mean to someone else.
Super mean. And it's your tattoo for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Like some of them I don't even want to mention, but it was pretty awful.
You know, I have to admit that my drive to be on TV does not equal me wanting to get a bad tattoo.
No.
There's no good side to that.
Yeah.
So what you should really do is you need to go up to your dad before the trip, because you don't want him to be fuming on the trip. You don't want him to have like a bad vacation, and just say, hey, Dad, sit him down. I just want you to know that I did get a tattoo. I got this. I think I understand how you feel about it, but I just want you to know I love you, and I'm glad that you feel the way that you do because you want me to treat my body right. If you go up to someone like that, yeah, maybe they're going to be a little angry, but it's going to take so much out of it. If my boy came up to me and said those things rather than always saying, no, I didn't do it. Nope. I don't care. I don't care what you think. It's when you start saying you don't care and what they think doesn't matter, that's where the real problem comes in.
I think that would work except for the small fact that she used his money to beg him to get that tattoo.
You don't ever bring that up. You don't ever bring that up.
And then what she would say is, oh no, not that money. I used my money.
Still letting them know that you care so much, you want to talk to them about it because you do care so much about
what they think.
That will change everything. Now, if your dad is still angry at you, then he needs to get a nice cold blanket.
Yeah. And maybe you should give it to him.
Yep. Dear Bishop, my nickname in my family is Sparky. I bit through an electric cord when I was a toddler and shocked myself. Now that I'm in my early 20s, this is going to sound like an episode of Seinfeld, but here goes anyway. I want a new nickname. I want something tough sounding and adult, but I don't want to directly ask them to call me anything. First, what should my new nickname be? Second, how do I get them to call me it? There's a guy at work. There's a guy at one of my old works that called himself Magic Mike. No one else called him that. He referred to himself as Magic Mike.
This so is like instead Rimmer of saying Ace.
Yeah. No, I mean, everybody started calling him it, but it was the fact that he started calling himself that was the... It was the funny part. It was like, you're like, oh, okay,
I would start... Weird. I would lean into it and call him Magic Microphone, right? And he'd be like, no, Magic Mike. Yeah, that's what I said. And then make him like explain it every time.
It's like, it'll be like me getting in there. It's like, okay, everybody call me Gunny Bunny. Now, if someone asks like what nicknames, they kind of like, that's been asked before. Like, what nicknames? What do you call your wife? What do you call this? And I'll be like, oh, my wife sometimes called me Gunny Bunny. They're like, oh, that's so cute. My gosh, she got that from another guy. A guy started calling me that. Oh, tell me more.
First of all, I actually kind of like the name Sparky. That's a cool nickname. That is. And it sounds tough to me. But if he wants to really have other people call him by another name, one of the things he can do is just go to a couple close friends and say, okay, guys, I want you to start calling me this name. You have to talk to at least someone about it. You can't call yourself that or something. You can't just hope that someone else comes up with an awesome nickname that you like. You know, it's just not going
to
work out.
How about if you just assume it and you say, okay, you guys, I finally decided to let people call me Ace. If you guys want to do it, you can. Okay, Ace, I'm just going to let it go because it's the natural thing. And just like assume it. What do you think?
Yes.
Yeah, but they'd only do it as a joke. We had a friend whose older brother started going around and telling everyone, I want to be known as Doc.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Remember that, Nathan? Yep. Yeah.
And it worked.
For Doctor Who. And it worked. Yeah, everyone called him Doc.
Was it for Doctor Who?
Yeah, it was Doctor Who.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know why. How about if it was, they liked Doctor Who, but they didn't want to be called the Doc. They wanted to be called James Ace. Baker. Can you call me Tom Baker? Can you call me Tom Baker? Because I really like Doctor Who.
Can you call me David Tennant?
Just people who played Doctor Who.
Yeah. Okay.
I find it somewhat annoying too, but I can understand it. I mean, okay. Look at Christian. You know, he had a valid reason.
Nicknames are different than names, though.
Okay.
Nicknames, I think, have to be earned.
I don't know if we can give any advice except for have one of your friends start calling you that.
I don't know about this. Did we solve this one?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We just can't give them. But own it and have one of your friends be on the inside of the joke.
Yeah, those are the
good ones. Yeah.
And you're just going to have to get a nice cold blanket to bury your old name under.
Yeah, but seriously, I like Sparky. That's a fun nickname.
And speaking of Barry Goldwater is a great nickname.
Barry or Goldwater?
Both. It's both. It has to be both.
Welcome to another episode of Mom, I Joined a Cult, the only podcast about cults by an actual cult. Listen as we examine other cults, discuss what they did right and what they did wrong, and then build our own cult from the ground up. And now your hosts,
Gunner,
Nathan,
and Thor.
Nathan, what do you have for us today?
I want to interest you guys in a unique opportunity, a financial opportunity.
Oh.
No, actually, we're going to talk about MLMs this time. I have about 25 years experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked at 5 different MLMs, and I have talked to people about MLMs on 4 different continents.
Okay.
So I just want to say I'm an expert. You're good. No, actually, there's a lot of stuff I don't know, but...
When are we going to Antarctica? So you can
get one more. I need to get all 7. okay, so MLMs, for those who don't know, is multi-level marketing, mm-hmm. Or network marketing. They go by a bunch of different names. Direct
pyramid,
selling.
Pyramid scheme is
one thing that they don't like being called, but they kind of are. In fact, they try to avoid being a pyramid scheme. How they try to avoid it is by, if you see a company who sells, they have their network marketing, but they also have, like, you could also buy these retail. And they're crazy priced. Like, a product will be $80 wholesale and $120 retail.
Mm-hmm.
And that $120 retail product, they have to have because the Securities and Exchange Commission will ding them, will tell them they're a pyramid scheme if they only offer through network marketing.
Mm-hmm.
But if they have a retail branch... And they show that it's for sale, they can say, oh, but we're not a pyramid scheme because we also sell retail. But it's crazy price.
Mm-hmm.
Usually like 20, 30% more. but MLMs are, if you ever get called, someone who you haven't talked to since high school or college calls you up and like, hey, well, we have an opportunity. I have an opportunity that you could really make be your own boss and make your own money and make your own hours or fire your boss or 1,000 other things they say. They're going to talk to you about an MLM. And most people have kind of been approached, especially if you're in Utah.
It seems to be pretty popular here.
And I have a theory about it. I think that, I mean, we have a culture where you trust authority because it's like, okay, we have a religion that doesn't welcome questioning lots of stuff. They say, no, just take our word for it. This is the way. I mean, most religions are like that. They say, no, you don't need to. You can ask the Lord, but don't look at any anti-LDS literature. And MLMs are the same way. It's like, you can think about this opportunity and talk to the person that we sent, but don't go to anyone else. They have that kind of mentality. This is a $36 billion a year industry. And
is that just in the United States or is that worldwide?
That's worldwide.
Okay.
So, huge industry. And I have a funny story to tell. When we lived in Sandy Ryder's basement,
mm-hmm.
and there was this cute woman that lived, because we were on kind of a hill, down the hill from us, and just like across the street. And she's this really attractive woman, and she would just wave to me every day. And I kind of would go out, like make sure that I'm there at 8:30, because I know she's going to be there, and she'll wave to me, and then I'll go to work, and I'll feel like, hey, someone thinks I'm cute or whatever. Anyway, she's like, hold on. One day she's, hold on, I want to talk to you. And I was feeling like, oh my gosh, you know, she's going to come up and talk to me. And she comes up and then she's like, I just want you, I would like to talk to you tonight about something with my husband. Can we both come? And I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, yeah, that I'm going to get home right around 5:30. She goes, perfect. I'll be there with him. And this is a life-changing thing. And I really want to talk to you about. And I'm like, kind of like, should I, my heart's going fast, jackpot. But at the same time, I'm like, am I ready for group sex? I don't think I am, but I'm willing to try. And I had no clue because I'd never been talked to before about MLMs. And so after, you know, she comes up with her husband and I'm like, okay, this is weird. But I invite them in and they're like, they wanted to talk to me about Melaleuca.
Mm-hmm.
Essential oils and anyway, and you some of your products.
Got in on that. I think you missed out, actually.
I'm wrong. I probably did. But anyway, so what an MLM is a, it's a company. The structure is instead of advertising their product, instead of marketing it, they use word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And so you'll have a product line that the company will have, and they'll say, well, we're going to give, instead of giving magazines this money or TV or marketing executives, we're just going to give all of that money to you for talking to your friends about the product.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like, oh yeah, well that sounds like a great way to cut out the middleman, but you become the middleman, unfortunately. But then they have you, they'll ask you to invite a downline or invite people, like make a list of the 100 people that you know on your Facebook friends list,
mm-hmm.
and or you know from high school, or you have, go through your phone contact list and write down 100 people, and then let's just this week contact each one of them, or maybe the next 2 weeks and you're going to contact them. If only 5 people of those 100 people say yes, and then you we'll talk to them together, and then they'll if they invite 5 people, and you'll have, you know, you'll build your downline, and your downline is you get a percentage of the profit when they buy the product in your downline. You get a percentage of that, plus the person that signed you up gets a percentage of what you spend, and the people in your downline spend. And so it is kind of a way to get money, and some people actually make enough money to live off.
Some people are very successful.
Very good.
Is there some point where that money can't go up any higher?
Yeah. They say 13 times, if out of 13 iterations, if you invite 5 people and they invite 5 people, and I don't know how the math works, but they said 13 times is the population of the United States and 15 times is the population of the world.
But that depends on it. I mean, every MLM is a little bit different. The structure of the pyramid.
But this is if you had 5 people, and then they each got 5 people, and they got 5 people, and all of them got anyway. If everyone maxed out their 5 people mm-hmm. in 13 iterations, that would be the population of the U.S. and then 15 population of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't require that.
Yeah.
And there's no way you can get that. I mean, MLMs have hit a saturation point.
Mm-hmm.
Where everyone who's going to join an MLM has joined it.
And if you join at the bottom, you're going to lose a whole lot of money.
Yep. So. And I wanted to talk, because I've been a product manager for almost all of my career. And so my job has been to just develop products. I don't work for an MLM right now.
That's why
I can talk about this. But I can tell you a little bit about how they price things. Because if you look at MLMs, they have the most expensive
products.
And sometimes it's worth it. Sometimes they do have cutting edge stuff, but it's never really, really worth it. For example, I worked on a product. I won't tell the name of the company, but our cost of goods was out of the door $4.65.
All the packaging.
This is the bottle, the pills, having it labeled, putting a shrink mm-hmm. wrap around the sleeve, having an induction seal on the top. So when you open it up, you have to tear off the top, the whole thing. $4.65. Then to get the pricing, they add a cost layer. They say, okay, well, what we need, that's how much cost of goods are. And then we need a certain percentage to pay our employees and have it warehoused and ship it and all this stuff to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
And so they add $1.50 to that. and then they, in every company is different, but then they multiply it by 10. And so, and then they raise it to whatever sounds good. So this product, for example, $4.65 turned out to be $65. Mm. So they thought, okay, it was $6.50, including our costs, and then multiply that by 10, $65. And then and they're charging that today. Mm-hmm. And some products, for example, I worked with a company who sold, it was water and salt.
Okay.
Were the two ingredients, and the bottle cost more than the product inside to manufacture.
I know what product you're talking about.
That product, I think it cost $85 for a bottle.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So, something about like that.
So they were making buku bucks.
Huge. I mean, profit margin when the bottle is the most expensive part of your product, mm-hmm, is crazy. And that's not... I worked for another company who had... It was liquid chlorophyll was the product. And I mean, liquid chlorophyll, it's just plant juice. It's not even alfalfa juice. It was mulberry juice, I think, that they used because it was cheaper than alfalfa juice. Uh-huh. And a bottle of this stuff would cost, I think it was $45. And it's just basically plant juice and water in a container. Mm-hmm. And the container was more expensive than the juice.
Really?
Yeah.
So is it they just take plants and then just
crush it? They crush it, make the juice. And these people, so I don't want to name the company, but they dehydrated it. So they got powder. And then when they got the powder, they would rehydrate it and then sell it. And then ship it around the world.
So because it's like, you have it readily available.
Yeah.
So.
And you can get it all year round.
So the juice wasn't even fresh.
It wasn't even fresh. That's just a little bit about how they're priced.
Every company marks up prices, right?
Totally. And every company should do that. That's how you
make money. Yeah, that's how they make money.
And so a product that you, for example, a product that is cost $7.
Let's just say Hostess Twinkies, okay?
Hostess Twinkies.
Okay.
So yeah. they probably cost like 12 cents, mm-hmm, to make. I mean, they're making probably less than that, and they can sell them for a dollar plus. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what the prices are.
I don't know.
But that's totally natural.
But with the MLMs, it's about 10, it's usually around 10 times.
Yeah, so if it costs...
regular thing, is it what, 5 times?
Or well, if it cost 65 cents to make, or mm-hmm, if it cost, what did I say?
You said like 12 cents.
12 cents. Like then you times it by 10... Mm-hmm. And it would be like, this is $1.20, mm-hmm, instead of just like 30 cents or whatever. So they really try to get as much money as possible. And it's a different kind of price structure than normally. The markup is the same product. Like, for example, vitamin C, mm-hmm, is a commodity. You can just get vitamin C anywhere.
So the price markup isn't quite as much.
But in an MLM, mm-hmm, you can expect to pay $40. And for the same product, and it's not that much different, mm-hmm, at a pharmacy or at grocery store, vitamin C, you could expect to pay $5. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's like a different kind of pricing structure than a retail product would be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're definitely paying more, but how they get you is they'll say, well, would you like your product? So if that's, they try to find your doubts and try to resolve them. And so then that's the other thing I think why MLMs are so prevalent in Utah is because there's so many people who go on missions and you have people who are used to selling stuff. I mean, talking to people about subjects, mm-hmm, that just going to a stranger and talking to them about the scripture and stuff. And so, yeah. And then we also have a built-in population of people who speak different languages, mm-hmm, here. And so, and people who have wards and
the social supporting groups.
Social groups
and large social groups that where everyone kinds is nice to each other.
Totally. And mm-hmm, it used to be that you would get the ward list, the list of people in your church, and people would just start calling using that as their contact list to try to get, mm-hmm, people. They don't do that anymore, but people would do that.
Yeah.
One of the idiosyncrasies of MLMs are the founders. founder of a regular retail company. I mean, sometimes they're narcissistic and think a lot of themselves, but MLM founders are a different breed completely. I won't name any names, but we have one MLM founder who just thought everything he said was like scripture.
Okay.
And so
he
would
have a person behind him taking notes.
Yes. Uh-huh. He had a person behind him taking notes. Like, you know, this is the good, we need someone to record everything because I say some stuff that's seriously inspiring every once in a while. And so he would have someone follow him around and just take notes.
Would that be a crazy job, Nathan? Come on. He'd be like, yeah, just follow him around. Take notes and say, yeah, that was good. That was good.
And actually, he did agree with the founder a lot. Uh-huh. And he's still doing it. He's not doing it to the founder had passed away now. Uh-huh. But he still works for the company. And this guy, now he's the fountain of knowledge, basically the prophet of what the MLM founder
was saying. I'm going to go out on a limb and tell you a certain name, but I get you could take this name out.
Well, wait, before we go there, I just want to say, did this certain person by chance kill one of their children?
That's one that's kind of like this guy.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking.
No, this is a different one.
So this other MLM leader,
mm-hmm.
Do you want to tell the story better than me?
Oh, they had one MLM founder decided he was going to birth his own children, which is totally fine. And then he didn't really read a lot of instructions. He didn't have a real degree from a medical college or even training as a midwife or mm-hmm. doula or whatever. He just like, oh, I can wing it. And he had the baby in, he had a hot tub up in his office, which is next level weird anyway. And he...
You bet that is.
Yeah, but kind of...
In the office.
But kind of great at the same time. Well, in a separate separate area of his
okay,
office.
Okay, okay.
Because they lived up there, too.
Uh-huh.
So it was his house, and office. Then his office, and then the rest of the floors underneath.
Okay.
But yeah, he had a baby, but he was holding it underwater, and the baby was trying to breathe, and things, and the birth was... difficult. Anyway, the baby ended up dying.
But mm-hmm. it was like holding underwater just because he
wanted because that's to how something. The that's how babies breathe is through the umbilical cord, mm-hmm. which is totally true until the baby starts breathing normal air, and yes. then it's like
until they leave the body.
Yeah,
until the placenta starts detaching, and then you know there's nothing else coming through there. So, you know, yeah,
exactly. It just
yeah.
There's another one who, regardless of what the science or what. Of how the product was turned out, he had very specific ideas of how he wanted the product to be formulated. And none of the scientists are like, no, you can't do this. And he's like, no, we're going to do this. And through his sheer force of will, we developed a product that flopped so hard because it was moldy because he didn't want it to be... Mm-hmm. Anyway, the way he wanted it formulated was just impossible to do it right. And so it was moldy. Those shakes that we made were lumpy because he had these ideas of how much coconut oil and coconut fiber were in it. And he just didn't listen to these food scientists that he had paid. He was paying $120,000 a year to work there. And he didn't listen to them.
And he blamed other people for the failure.
Totally. Sure. Yeah, it was everyone's fault but his. But anyway, so they have huge, huge egos. And always look into when someone approaches you about an MLM, look up, for example, Melaleuca, and then put controversy or Melaleuca scam. And a lot of times they will try to doctor the search engine optimization to try to get stories that are positive about them towards the top of the search. But if you go to the second page and you start reading those things, that's where the truth comes out of how people have been hurt or scammed by these companies.
Yeah.
And almost none of them have a product that's really worth the money. For example, essential oils really do cost, each bottle should cost under $20. Mm-hmm. Unless it's a really exotic essential oil. But and some of them should be less than $10 for those little 1.5-ounce bottles or 1-ounce bottles. But you'll see those for $55 or $80 in some MLMs, and it's just the way that has to be priced to to pay all the people that need to be paid.
Yeah. So this is fascinating stuff, and I have a couple of questions for you, but I don't want to jump in right now.
Well, let me just say before you talk about that, I wanted to say that so a lot of these MLMs that I'm talking about, I would say, or that I'm thinking of, out of the four or five that I've worked for, three of the founders live outside the United States for tax purposes. And that's super common, is they'll like, well, I live in the Isle of Man, or I'm in Barbados, or someplace where they have really loose regulations of how to get taxed, or don't have extradition to the United States, or they live in places where they can get away with what they get away with. And sometimes they do the international conventions so they don't have to come to the United States. It sounds like an exotic location. We're going to go to Fiji, and it's really so they don't have to enter the United States and get arrested. Just so you know. Anyway, you had a question.
No, okay. This is fascinating stuff, okay? And I realized that, let's talk about Melaleuca, okay? So
I never worked for them, so I use them as an example.
And that's a perfect example. Melaleuca's been around for, 20, 30 years, maybe? Whatever. They're saturated. I'm stupid enough to get involved in an MLM, okay? Which I'm not, because I don't like selling something unless I'm really convinced that it's a good thing. And even then, I'm not, if someone says, no, I don't want it, I'm like, sounds good. Unless it's life or
you
death.
You take no for an answer.
Yeah, I take no for an answer. I do. I'm like, okay, no problem. But anyway, so I'm not a good salesman. But let's say I did want to become involved in an MLM. What are the things that I should look for where I'd be like, I could make a little money? Now, I'm going to give an example, okay? My mom has been involved in a couple MLMs, okay? She was involved in one where you were going to get build up your emergency storage, food storage, okay? And she got a guy, she got a guy underneath her that was all gung-ho. He went crazy. And I signed up under her too, underneath her. So I took this guy that she had that was going crazy was hitting me too. And so as a teenager doing absolutely nothing, I was getting checks for like $200, $300 a month and getting food storage for about a year, 2 years. Okay. And I mean, it worked out great for me, right? How do you get involved in something like that?
So the people who really make the money, I mean, there's a personality type that makes money, and they could probably sign up in not a mature MLM, but like a normal MLM that isn't mature yet.
Couple years old,
and they could still make money because they're like a used car salesman type personality. And some people are just good at approaching people they don't know, selling things, not taking no for an answer, being persistent, finding people's hot buttons and or their levers or whatever, the things that would motivate them, and selling like, oh, you want to be your own boss? That sounds like wonderful. You want to fire your boss and make your own hours? That sounds wonderful. And that's the people who can come up with ways to talk. Creative ways to talk about this business opportunity, quote unquote, are going to be successful, and the people who sign up early. So if you can get on the ground floor opportunity,
or Nathan made air quotes, by the way,
ground floor. If you can find a company that you think is going to be successful, has great leadership and great products, and you know people who
are like that,
are like those used car salesmen, then, and you can sign them up, then you'll do great. And those first people do make most of the money. And the people who have this long down, and then everyone who signs up, for example, a company can have, like, let's say, six major downlines, and everyone else is a member of one of those downlines, and there's millions of, or tens of thousands of members, but they're all one of those in the six major downlines of the company. Those people who are the number one or number two or maybe number three level
So the guys who founded the company and their friends.
And they sign up. So there's a group of expert MLMers who have that personality who will go from one opportunity and they'll stay there for 2 or 3 years and then they migrate to another opportunity, another company and stay there. And they are the ones making the money and they make huge money. Like they, mm-hmm. Checks, I've seen their checks for like $30,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
you know, good money. But it kind of leads into how many people, does that answer your question so far?
Totally answered okay. my question.
So what do you think is the percentage of people who actually make money?
1%, maybe
yep.
2.
Yep, 1.5% of people. If you took everyone just in a regular MLM, so people who aren't making money, some people who lose money, and the people who are great, who make great money, and you average them out, how much does an average member get paid, or average MLM member get paid? Or distributor. Sometimes they call them distributors or mm-hmm. partners. Or
like a month or a year or throughout
an hour.
An hour? Oh, an hour? In the cents, under a dollar?
7 cents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you average them out, 7 cents an hour. The top 2.3% make 75% of all the money mm-hmm. Of the MLM. And if you think about it, so what percentage of college players go to become expert, or not experts, but become professional?
Professional, I'd say maybe 1%.
Yeah. So it's mm-hmm. kind of like the chances of becoming a professional, but the way they're marketing it is...
Maybe 2, because we've got the European leagues now.
Okay. So. But if you the way they market it is anyone...
Can become
your own boss. You can fire your boss, make your own hours, become mm-hmm. a boss babe is one that they talk... Or I'm going to retire my husband. I'm going to retire myself, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to retire my husband. Mm-hmm. And that's something that is a goal of a lot of MLMs. And you'll hear people say that.
That sounds really nice. It sounds great.
I want my wife
to
do it. No, I mean, no, I don't want her to do it. But I can see why some people would like that. They say that 87% of people fail to make the money that they invested in it. So mm-hmm. a lot of MLMs will have, okay, so you need
the initial cost.
Yeah. The initial cost, but also a monthly minimum. So they'll say, well, it costs $500, which is actually a pretty low amount. But let's say $500 to sign up. And then you just need to spend at least $85 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your minimum. And then in order to get this level, you need to have 5 people under you spending $85 a month on the products. And you need to spend $120.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you can raise in ranks. And they'll have 20 ranks, and they'll be like, oh, this is you're a ruby or an emerald or a diamond, double diamond, black diamond,
mm-hmm.
Sergeant, whatever. You know, they have all these little levels, and you have to have purchased a certain amount every month. And usually, when you get to a certain level, they'll just put on auto pay and they'll just buy the same products all the time and have it fill their garage. Mm-hmm. And then their downline will do the same thing. Actually, that's against the law. You're not supposed to, not against the law, against the rules in most MLMs. You're not supposed to keep, you're supposed to keep your product. You're supposed to like give it away if you
or
if
sell it.
Or sell it or something like that.
Yeah.
So,
like with Amway, it's, you're supposed to sell the stuff, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And so it's that talkative BSer, the used car salesman types. That make all the money. And they, a lot of times they'll give not just the money, but a reward trip. And they do that. Did your MLM any trips or anything?
I don't think so. It was very simple. It was just 2 lines. You're going down. As I say, I didn't know very much about it, but my mom really liked it. She said, and she signed me up. I was like, whatever.
That's awesome. And can you do anything with the money? Or did your mom want to spend it the way she wanted to?
No, it was my money.
It was your money. Yeah. Okay, nice.
And
What did you do with this money? Because you ask me for money sometimes.
I never asked you for money.
You never did. I asked you. I didn't think I asked you for money.
No, I don't think you ever did. My dad asked me for money all the time.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he'd pay me back though. So
nice.
So yeah, that when he was really poor. So yeah.
And then there's the kinds of products they sell. A lot of them are A lot of them are supplements. Most MLMs are supplements, but I've seen them long distance phone services. Mm-hmm. I've seen them for leggings. Mm-hmm. I've seen them for makeup. I've seen MLMs for I've seen food storage. I've seen just regular food. Mm-hmm. Cleaning products is huge. Amway has both cleaning products and nutritional products. And most MLMs will branch out and they'll start as a supplement company and eventually have makeup and color cosmetics and stuff like that.
In theory, you could do almost anything, right?
Yeah.
Following that model. So why is this culty?
Well, I'll cover that in a minute. I want to say some of the criticisms. Pyramid scheme. So a pyramid scheme is when you have, you're at the top of the pyramid and everyone underneath you gives money to you, and then you give money to the company, and it's shaped like shaped like a pyramid, because you have four people under you, and then they have, or five people, and then they have five people under them each, and then but what makes it not a pyramid scheme is the way, if it's sold retail, or if you have a downline and then another, like two downlines, it can mix up the structure a little bit, and the Security and Exchange Commission hasn't defined like this is exactly an MLM. It kind of is fought in the courts rather than just a law that says this is exactly what an MLM is. Mm-hmm. And so it's like you never really know. And I've been in several companies who have been around for 20 years, and then the Security Exchange Commission, the SEC, will come in and say, wait, you're an MLM, or you're a pyramid scheme, and they'll have to prove in court that they're not. Mm-hmm. And so that happens. So pyramid scheme, price fixing, a lot of them do communicate with each other and will say, this is kind of what we will charge for vitamin C or for this kind of product or that kind of product. Collusion and racketeering, they've been accused of. Front loading, and that's people who buy a lot of products up front to try to get into like a reward trip or try to be part of a leader automatically, but they have a garage full of product. False advertising, exploitation of young, low income. I remember low income families and people.
Kind of like lottery.
Yeah, kind of like a tax on the poor. It kind of is that, where people who don't have a lot of opportunities want to become their own boss, or they're at home, they're like a homemaker, mm-hmm. staying at home with their raising their family, and they realize, well, I can do this opportunity when my husband is working, and I'll just take my kids over and we'll have a play date, and I can talk to them about makeup or mm-hmm. nutrition, and talk to the different mothers who are home and tell them about how they can fire their boss or make money for the family and that kind of stuff. And they do really well in like poor families or in times of economic uncertainty. Mm-hmm. MLMs can do really well. And so you'll see when we're in a depression, not depression, but in a recession,
the downturn
in the economy, that MLMs will pick up. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like a recession proof, but recession proof for the people who are on
the top
people or the founders.
Yeah.
And really they, MLMs pay pretty well, like their employees, and they'll have a lot of employees, hundreds of employees. False product claims, and you'll see that happen a lot. FDA has gone after MLMs. They do it every year, or they'll just go through, and a lot of them will say stuff like, and since everyone is a distributor in the structure, all of the people who are selling the product, they're kind of like independent retailers. Mm-hmm. And so they have their own website, and then they'll say, well, this stuff cures cancer. Mm-hmm. Or they won't claim it. They'll say, this cured my mother's cancer. But whether the claim is true or not, they don't ever give a lot of information on. But then people will use that example and say, well, this does cure cancer, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the way that the legends kind of happen surrounding the product is kind of scary. And then exaggerated compensation claims. So you're like, when you'll be able to fire your own boss in 3 months. Well, if you already had a list of people who are willing to sign up under you, yeah, you could. But it's going to be difficult. But anyway, they'll promise that kind of stuff. What makes this cult-like behavior? And I'll try to make a case here. I'm going to do the BITE model. So behavior control, They talk, they control your finances. They'll lie to you about finances and say you're going to become your own boss, or you fire your boss, or make your own hours, or whatever. They tell you who you can talk to, and they'll encourage you not to, you know, people who, those, your uncle who is questioning the MLM industry and our company specifically, you shouldn't talk to him. They're only dragging you down. Mm-hmm. And that's totally, I've heard that said. They will have certain rules where they're like, oh no, before you do anything fun for the day or anything with your kids, you need to contact 5 people and have a conversation and bring up Melaleuca or bring up whatever company. And so they have these rules where if you follow them, you're supposed, like, it's a recipe for success. Mm-hmm. So that's behavior control. Information control. They a lot of times will lie about products. And I've developed products. I mean, I try to develop the best products that I can for the money. And I've been proud of quite a few products. But some of them I totally see behind. And like, well, this is not when they're, the stuff that they say about the product after you introduce it is completely different than what it really does. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it from the product development side. But that's information control. They talk about the financial lies, product lies. The T is thought control. They have they really surround you with a positivity, like, will love bomb you. They say that you should make you're making your own success by having positive thoughts. Mm-hmm. And if you can just be more positive and believe that you're going to be successful, you'll be much more successful, which sometimes is true, but is also a complete, you can't guarantee it. It's a lie for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. That just being positive doesn't make you successful, but they kind of sell that to you. Emotion control. So they do positivity, believe in yourself. And that's where the love bombing happens. And so when you are a new distributor, you'll get like a distributor packet that welcomes you. And then your upline, the person who signed you up, will like call you and like, I want to work. I'm so excited about, you have so many great opportunities, and you have a list of people that we haven't even talked to yet. And your unique personality is going to really help the company do well. And mm-hmm. anyway, all this stuff, and they're just telling you a line of things that they've practiced.
They're glad-handing you.
Glad-handing you. Anyway, so I think that...
Isn't that an awesome word?
I'm saying this is a cult. It's each of them are their own unique kind of cults.
It becomes more culty when you're talking to someone that's sharing the information with you, mm-hmm. and how much they've bought into it, and how much it is the answer. It is the truth of God.
Yeah, it is really a religion in a lot of cases.
Especially, I'm going to say doTERRA, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to just throw
that's another one I haven't worked for, so that's totally fine.
So that one, for sure, the people I know that are in, it's just like, it is crazy how they're like, you can solve any problem with these things. And like, it is their belief. They actually believe that you can solve anything with it.
Yeah, I've definitely heard that.
Not to say that it's not, I don't agree. There's some things I've gotten, I got essential oils and I like them. And certain ones do stuff, but it's not the end all cure all.
100%.
Yeah. I do think that it's called, you're right, somewhat of a religious aspect in the belief of the product, but I think they're selling a dream. You're selling that dream of the be your own man, you know, be rich, be successful without really trying. And very few people are like me where that actually happened a little bit, but it just happened for like a year and a half really. And then it kind of died off. And when it gets to the point where you're like having to buy the product and it's not, you know, it's not taken care of, you're like, I'll spend my money.
You know, I have noticed one thing that you never talked to me about this. Mm-hmm. You never tried to sign me up, Thor. You didn't want me to be successful.
I didn't sign
you anyone up. You've been holding me down my whole life.
Nathan, all in all, it wasn't even $1,000, okay?
Listen, $1,000 to a high schooler is could be $20,000 to me.
You're right. And I was getting free, basically free food storage for a while. I thought it was awesome. I get like those dried banana chips, you know. And
you're just
like,
eating them.
Just eating them. Yeah. I love it. You know, they have all these little things. And I'd be like, ooh, let me get some of this, you know.
So do you think it's a cult or no?
No, I do. It's not as much a religion as they're selling a dream.
Yeah.
They are. You buy into that dream and you have to change your whole life.
Isn't a religion kind of selling a dream too?
You're selling a dream too. You're selling.
No, but it's based on truth. Okay.
Well, maybe not all of MLM them. Is based on truth for that 1.5%.
Sure. Yeah.
You know?
Gunnar, what do you think? Religion or a cult or no?
It's a cult.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say culty for sure.
Yeah. So we should form our own MLM, guys.
We're going to get there. So we're going to do the good, the bad, the culty.
The good, the bad, and the culty. Now we discuss what this week's cult did right and where they got it all wrong.
So, the good, the bad, the culty.
Okay, the good.
They want to help people.
They do.
I mean, some of them.
And in small area, there are. It's like the lottery. Occasionally, someone wins. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Someone makes money. I mean, yes, 99.999% people will lose money, but someone does win big, you know? So there's a win big aspect to it.
Yeah.
The product, I think they have some good products, yeah. And I think sometimes it's better than the standard.
We've been ripping on, like, Melaleuca, but I like a lot of the Melaleuca products. I do. Yeah. They've got some good stuff,
mm-hmm.
You know? Tea tree oil is awesome.
Yeah, I do agree.
It's a great essential
oils don't do anything. That one does.
That
stuff.
Does. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good. I like tea tree oil. It's great. It's provided Nathan with a lot of jobs.
It has.
But I will say the products that I have developed are I try to make them as good as possible.
Yeah,
I'm happy with. I would take them. I usually do.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't pay
the price
like that product that, you know, $4.65 mm-hmm. and they're selling it for $65. How about the bad?
Just like the lottery, most people lose money.
You lose friends that try to sell stuff to you.
Yeah, especially if you're not cut out for that kind of thing. And as I say, I know I'm not cut out to sell things. I know I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm just.
And I would say most people aren't. Even the ones that try. I remember I was in Ukraine mm-hmm. and this... We had a convention there and they wanted me to speak at it for talking about this energy drink that we were introducing. And this guy's kind of worked, he was a distributor, but he just wasn't successful. And he had tried everything, including just quitting his job
to do that full time.
And he's like, no, I believe in it. I'm going to quit and be successful. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had a family, kids. Uh-oh. And finally the company felt bad enough for him. They're like, well, could you maybe part-time? You do part-time and then part-time with us and you could be our driver.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went from believing in his dream and spending all his money, but losing everything, including his family. His wife left him. So he basically had nothing. And except for this car, he would drive around. He drove me around for a while in mm-hmm. Ukraine, and we saw a bunch of stuff, and it was nice. But I just felt horrible that it wasn't worth, losing his family over. So that's the bad, is can take advantage of people who are less fortunate, who believe, who don't have what it takes, but believe that they do. And there's mm-hmm. so many people who are like that. That you have to be careful. Maybe you have
the product sells itself.
Oh my gosh, I've heard that kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah.
How about the culty? I have an idea.
Okay. We need to take on placebos.
We do. Is that it?
I know we talked about it, but I think we need to take on the placebo pill.
Okay, what is it, Nathan?
Okay, my idea. I like that though. My idea is, so I've gotten out of people when people have approached me about MLMs, mm-hmm. I just tell them I work for one and I cannot work for a company who is in direct competition with my company, so I can't mm-hmm. do it. And that's just like ends the conversation right there.
Mm-hmm.
How about if we developed our own MLM for if you are This is the structure. If you become a member of the Nice Cult, sign up and get a certificate, and you get five people, we will, if you get five people and they get five people, we will refund your money for the certificate. And as part of the contract, you can tell people you're in an MLM and you cannot work for it. Part of the contract will be you can't work for another MLM. And so they can get out of anyone. You have a free out.
If you get five people.
You get five people.
That's it.
Okay, then, that's all you need. Then we're not refunding anyone's money. Then.
Okay.
Sorry, Gunner.
What?
Oh, yeah. But if we're being an MLM, then our certificate needs to be worth like $500, right?
That's true. If you pay $500 for your certificate. No, but I think we could make that as part of the contract.
If you become a Nice Cult member,
then
you are not allowed to work for an MLM.
And you can tell people it's against your religion.
Okay.
I like that. So if you're a Nice Cult member, you can get out of any MLM.
Yep. No matter who approaches you. That good?
I like that one.
Yep. We're going to have to take on the placebo another time.
Mm-hmm. We hope you had fun with us as we explored this week's cult. Join our adventure next week as we continue to build our cult one belief at a time. Until then, if you're going to join a cult,
join the Nice Cult. Do 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 do